the straight from the heart. And I'm Juliana, coming to you straight from my heart with love, compassion, and peace.
I came across, actually, you know, it's funny when your phone received about having him on, and because I was talking to today, I did an interview actually with him today, and I for the show, and I thought, oh, hey, well, he might be still around, so I tried again a couple times, and he wasn't in. I left a message twice under his answer machine, and I also emailed you his phone number, and
okay.
So I don't know if you could check the email, so just in case while the show's going on, you never know, maybe you could try. I don't know if he'll be in. But like you said, if I feel I can trust somebody, to give him my phone number.
Right.
So I sent
okay.
the phone number along, and he's very open about this. So he's not somebody who's trying to hide behind it, you know, give out false information or anything else. He really wants this to be shown, the footage to be shown. He wants people to see his story. And he says because he's not the only one going through this.
How long has this been happening to him, Brian?
Well, it's been going on a number of years. You know, I was talking today, and I said to Dave, I says, well, you know, I says, well, gosh, when did we connect? You know, I think it was back in 2004, maybe in 2005, you know, that he wrote to me. And just sort of to set it up, how it came about was the gentleman, Dave, here, he ended up emailing me, and he lives in Dickinson, North Dakota. And he says, I got some pretty awesome video footage. Would you like to see it? And this has nothing to do with alien abductions. This happened to do with a sighting that he had from his yard. And, I said, you betcha. You know, I'm ready for it. And, I sent him the email where he could send the footage and, of course, my own normal email address. And, he sent it and I brought it up. And sometimes, you know, you never know what you're going to see. Sometimes things are fuzzy. Sometimes things are sharp. And sometimes things are so far away you don't know what to make out. Well, this thing, he's heard on the radio that there was going to be a blue moon or full moon, or harvest moon. So he got his camera out and set it up, and he was waiting. So here comes the moon, you know, and he's right. Filming this darn thing. All of a sudden, this triangle shows up. Now, a point of light in the form of a triangle. So it was quite long. So if you're looking at the triangle, say you'd be looking at the bottom side, but it's over towards the east. I'm not sure what direction offhand. Anyways, and you have the top, the point, the one light at the top, and then it comes down, you know, and then you have the two at the bottom. This thing is huge. I mean, absolutely gigantic. Now, it's on my website. The footage and the photos and everything are on my website. So if anybody wants to happen to go look at this, probably the best thing to do would be typing in Dickinson, North Dakota, excellent UFO footage. That should pop up. Or if they want to just go to my site, they can go to www.hbccufo.org or brianbike.com. Click on any report, any report I have on my site, and then put in and just take the dress line, the web dress line. Just take off the last four numbers and put in 1760, and click that. Up it'll come. But here we had these three points of light. Now this thing is monstrous. And he's filming, and he says, what the heck? And he's watching and watching and filming and filming. And all of a sudden, another light comes off one of these lights in this triangle. And then off that, and then another corner, another light comes off. And then the other corner, another light comes off. And then from that light, another one comes off. And this sort of kept going. So sometimes you had maybe two to three lights sitting in one corner. And it was absolutely amazing to watch. What a lot of people don't really get to see, I mean, you really got to look. On the right side of this triangle that's sitting upright in the sky, and you can't miss it, to the right of the screen, if you're looking at TV screen, there's another object, actually two of them. There's one Wow. down a little bit lower, one up a little higher, and it looks like sort of a straight marquee, but really fast. This thing is like pulsing energy between these two objects. It's absolutely fantastic. It's some of the best footage I've ever received. You know, honestly, of an actual UFO sighting. Pardon?
Was it just howling in one spot? It just
basically sat there. I'm not sure if the other one for sure, they may have been moving slightly, like the two with this pulsing in between. It was like if one of these objects was given another one, you know, a power, because one would go dimmer as the other one, you know, it was hard to say which way it was going because it was going so quickly.
Right.
It was like a line of light. It was really bizarre and pulsing. And it was, you know, like a solid sort of rapid little breaks between it, but it was moving so rapidly. And then you had this happening, so you don't know. One seemed to be powering up and the other one seemed to be losing, you know, so it was really bizarre. And what was neat too is what's really good about the recent film that he had sent me. And this is the one we're going to talk about tonight. What he did, he went out and he did a sort of a little video documentary of some of the sightings that he has had in his past and some of the things that he's seen in the skies. So what he did is he pointed his camera in the direction of where he saw this triangular object, say, sitting upright, you might say, and this other little thing flashing. It was just bizarre. And he explained where it was. So if you're looking at that, everybody will get to look at that, too, because I'm going to put everything together properly. So all the pictures, photographs, and everything will go in really nice and fit together. You'll be able to see. There's no buildings. There's no lights. No, nothing back there. At least there probably is red, but in the, maybe in, you know, a big fence and everything. So you can't see them. So this is definitely a really unknown and a really worthwhile scene. And I wouldn't even say it if it wasn't. I can tell you.
Wow.
So bizarre. And that was just one of them. You know, he had a cube hovering over top of his house. I mean, you know, he said multiple different triangles, stuff like that. Just unbelievable. But what really got me was he I guess just before I went on holiday, I had an email from him, and it was says here's his little subject in my UFO report form. He says, "Must view film to believe." And he says, "Hi, Brian, it's Dave here." He says, I had him on a guest on Jeff Renshaw. Actually, I had him on twice. He's a very credible man. He's really supplied some really good stuff. And he says, I need you to call me, ! He says, "I have a smoking gun alien abduction without a doubt." No joke. And he had been sitting on it for about 2 months in trying to decide what to do with the film, who to send it to, whichever. I guess he felt comfortable with me, so he contacted me over this. Well, he took it in this night shot, and he says, "I wish I had would have put it in super night shot," but he says, "I just didn't think at the time." But anyways, what's interesting about this, here he is sleeping at night, okay, and by the way, too, he has tried this, a couple times or whatever in the past about setting up a camera, because he's heard that, people set up cameras to try to get their experience caught on film, but, usually it's doesn't turn out, it just doesn't turn out either. There's nothing on the film. Or
right.
There's nothing on the film. Or less people have problems with cameras, so stories go.
Right.
Anybody set it up? Yeah, so we set it up this night. Set it on this little corner, nightstand or whatever, but I think it's over by radio, because he even got a video documentary of this after the fact, of course, and after he discovers what he saw in the film, he figured he'd go in and try to explain exactly, using a big long baseball bat, kind of black bat, on the bed and where this entity was and whatnot. But he did a great job. Anyways, this is, I'll tell you, bizarre. So here's the scoop or a little bit briefly about this anyway. Anyways, he set his camera up and he had it running, and I think it ran out. Ran out of film, and anyways, he, I guess, got it rewound and tried it again. Anyways, he fell asleep, and that was it. So he says, a couple days or so afterwards, he decided to better check this film out and have a look. And he said he was going through it and going through it. It was quite long, and that covers the whole film. And he says he was just about ready to give up, and looking at it, he says, "Well, I've got nothing here, so why bother, I guess," kind of thing. And then all of a sudden, something caught his attention. And then he sat there and he looked at it, and then I guess he rewound it, and he moved, because it's not pitch black in the house, but it is darker. So what I had to do is I had to take here, like he did, take the video, put it in, and then move my, I got a 36-inch tube TV, so what I did is I just brought up the picture and that, and moved the brightness up, right up. I ended up moving it down a fraction, just so I could lighten up the area of the room, because it is darkish. Well, anyways, I'll just read you a little bit, because it's what he's got here, and it's fascinating. He says, after 15 minutes, roughly, he says his blankets go down. So, I don't know if that was from his knees exactly, or maybe him moving around. It doesn't, I'm not too sure. But anyways, lying on top of the blankets on my right side, a very strange entity laying there with a funnel-like spiraling end to it. Now, you can see that on the film. No question about it. There's something. Oh, it is bizarre. Well, and then there's another part, too. What happens is, you see this black mass, it's moving around all over top of him. It's really weird. There's one place it actually seems to jump right out of his, his head area anyway, he figures his head. It jumps out of him. This entity thing, this entity's moving around, and then this spiral funnel, whatever you want to call it, eventually swallows this thing up and drags it out in the other room. This is bizarre. I'm not joking. I'm really not. He said,
vortex or something?
Something that gets to that effect, yes. To that effect, it probably was. And he says, after, and he went on a little bit, and he says, the strange moaning, I do sudden jerks and blankets, and about 15 minutes in, and at 11 minutes in, after 15 minutes or so, the blankets come down, and the first entity is revealed. And then about 70 seconds or so, the blankets lower, you will hear two clicks, a pause, and then a third click, and from my head, an entity jumps, and directly into this spiral thing, laying on my bed. I think then after about 2 minutes, you will see the thing move as it appears to swallow this thing down right into the next room, which is bizarre. You can see that on a film.
And you saw this all on the film?
This is on the film. I'm dead serious. I'm not making this up because the film is going to be released to everybody. What I'm trying to do, Juliana, is because it is darker, and I think when people bring this up on their computer screens, what's
right.
going to happen, see, it's going to look darkish unless maybe they got the Real Player or something. I'm not sure too knowledgeable about the players, but I know Real Player has one where you can adjust the brightness and so forth.
Right.
And you can do that, and you can see it a little bit better. But what I've got a fella, he's going to fix the film up. So in other words, you know when they, like on TV documentaries and so forth, where they may have a sort of a darker area, and there's something they want you to see because that's what the film's about, say Sasquatch or something, and you put
right.
a circle up there and they lighten the whole darn thing up?
Uh-huh.
Well, this is what are going to get done to the film.
Well, let me ask you a question. Does this mm-hmm. entity, have features? Does it have, like, a face, eyes, nose, mouth?
It's hard to see. It is honestly hard to see that.
So
it is.
Looks
but
more
there's
like
no
a mask? It looks
yeah,
more like
in one part of it there is. Yes, and one part of it is definitely a mask. It's very weird. It's really weird. And I'll just read you a couple of little lines here, too, because I highlighted some of this stuff. It says, another couple of minutes. This is after swallowing his thing down in the next room. It says here, another couple minutes pass, and the entity suddenly gets up and with a thump, providing his somewhat likely partially physical body backs out of the room and then immediately replaced by a spinning globe-like devious spinning light and a narrow-like arm going into his nightstand area and it just stares there until the film runs out. And he says, well, I was kind of disappointed because I guess at that point the film was, you know, heading there. But he's got enough of it on film that there's no question about it. There's something there. I don't know what it is, but I'm sure people are going to have fun, you know, playing with this. But it is the most bizarre thing, one of the most bizarre things I've seen.
Well, now, has he ever told you how he feels after these times? Like, when he sees the UFOs, does he feel happy? Does he feel safe? Does after he wakes up from a night's sleep and had an experience like this, does he have any kind of anything on him? Like, some people talk about they have, like, marks or scars or what does he say about that? How does this experience affect him?
Okay, in our talk today, in our conversation today, I asked him exactly the same thing. Any marks or anything like that, you know, that might be associated with an abduction or missing time event or whatnot over the film. And he said, absolutely not. And there was absolutely nothing. He says, I don't know. Maybe if something frightened him away, he just doesn't know. He actually says, I don't even remember it taking place in the room and I didn't have any marks when he woke up. But because he's had... he tells me that he's had, numerous visitations and so forth. He said, yes, because I did ask, and he said, yes, I've had different marks in the body at different, you know, different times or different kinds of experiences, you know. And so he is going through that. Right now, he's pretty darn scared over what's going on. He's very, very scared to see what he captured and, to know this is happening in his bedroom when he's sleeping, you know, sound at night. So, yeah, he was pretty freaked out, I can tell you.
Yes, so probably a big part of that fear is not completely understanding what is really happening and what it's all about.
That's
you know?
Right, exactly. And that's it, Juliana. This is the whole thing, is that we don't know, somebody who sort of looks into this stuff, and I'm sure many other ufologists, and I'm sure there's some that might say they know, I don't know. But for myself, speaking for myself anyways, I haven't a clue what's going on. And I don't know what they're there for or what they're doing, if they're there to meant to hurt you or there to help us. I haven't a clue. But personally, if that happened to me, I would be flipping out.
I was reading an article today regarding the ones that they call the Greys. I'm sure you heard about those ones. Those are the little ones, the little skinny guys. And they said that the Greys are here, and one of the reasons that they're here is because their race is dying, and when they abduct the people here on Earth, they abduct them to do experimentation on them in order to get help in the DNA from us to reproduce a new race of them, and that people don't remember they give they're okay to these grays to do this when they come to them after the experience is over, but the grays actually get permission from the people before they do it. They also said the grays are working with their government, and they have been working with their government for years. Who knows? Then they say there's races. Well, I tend to believe this with all my heart, because I know here on Earth, Brian, there's good and bad and everything, negative and positive and everything. They say that there are races out there of light beings, and I believe this with all my heart, that are very kind, very benevolent, very loving, have been watching over us and trying to help us for millennia, and that, you know, they're completely different. They're not on an agenda like the grays are here on. It's a totally different thing. They're mainly here to help rise their consciousness, help give us any kind of help they can, as much as they can on this earth, because, of course, we have free will and free choice, and they're not allowed by universal law or by their protocol or whatever to just butt in and stop something from happening. So, I think this man's greatest fear is if he could find out what is really going on and what is really happening.
That's right.
He would, maybe he should go under some kind of hypnosis. Did you ever mention that to him?
I might have mentioned that a long time ago. I haven't talked to him about it recently. I think he's pretty, I honestly think he's open to just about anything. I mean, he's, I mean, he's a straight up shooter. I have no doubts in my mind whatsoever about him. I have a lot of doubts in my mind about a lot of people, but with David, no, he's a straight shooter.
Right.
And I think it'd be nice to get help. And I said to him, I said, well, if there's anybody that would like to contact you or whatnot, or he even mentioned it too, you know, please pass along my name and phone number. You know, if there's I said, well, how about some other researchers maybe down in your area that maybe could get together with you and see what's going on, sit down, have a talk, look at some of what you have, hear the stories and so forth, what the experiences, what's been going on. Maybe they can suggest some stuff too. So, you know, that's a great possibility, and I think it would do some good. I know in some cases, I guess with that, you have to be a little cautious. It's like anything else too.
Right.
I know some people that, yeah, and some people it has worked and done wonders for goodness sake, just been wonderful. And others, it was just the opposite. And I think what the opposite is, I think it depends on the person, the individual who's going through it, and maybe how strong they are, get the information, say, you know, having somebody who's a registered hypnotherapist put them under, and are they ready to deal with what may come out of that, sessions? And if they're not, it can be a big slide backwards. So when I suggest, regression or something for somebody, and I'm not Mr. Know-it-all, because I'm not doctor or anything like that, but I just, common sense to me is make sure you're ready for whatever might happen or whatever might be, you know, what they'll tell you or what you may remember, because they'll usually die to remember anyway. And because I know some ladies there, one lady in Calgary, it went the opposite way for her, and she ended up on a disability, a Canadian pension here. She's just toast. She might as well be in the system. Not how it's terrible.
She did find out what was going on with her.
That's right. Yeah. And, she knew what was happening, or at least she knew. She was having a lot of sight and close encounters, and she was also, remembering a lot what's going on as it sort of went along, the days went along. She'd get these flashbacks, and she can remember being in the room, can remember what they were doing to her and so forth. And, it was getting to her. It was building up. And of course, who do you talk to? That's a big problem. Who do you talk to? Even family members were ridiculing her about her and laughing about her. And she says, hey, look, this is real to me. You know, it's not all in my head. I'm not crazy. It's happening. And so they didn't run to really listen to her, believe her. So, I think she ended up finding somebody she contacted, I guess, and was going through the same thing through the internet. So they had a little gap, but she says, gosh, it was just terrible. So she said, I found you, meaning me, and she said, well, I'm going to see what Brian has to say. So she wrote me, and I called her up, and I emailed back, and I got her phone number, and I called her up, and that was just sort of a conversation between us and that. And she was very open about what was going on, And she just said, look, you know, she says, I feel just like somebody lifted a weight off me that, you know, I can actually just get this off my chest. She says, I said, well, you know, I said to her, I says, well, you know, probably an hour or maybe tomorrow or maybe you'll feel back into the same position again. But I said, don't forget, I'm always here. You know, even if an email, phone call, whatever, I'm always here to, you know, just talk. You know, I don't have an answer for her.
Also, Brian, it's important for people to get to the bottom of this and find out the truth of what is going on. Because if someone is coming into your home at night without permission while you're sleeping and doing whatever they please, that's totally uncool in my world.
In my world it is. I probably said it to you, Julianne, before. I think, anyways, it's just like somebody coming in and kidnapping somebody at their home, like in the real world, our world kind of thing.
Right.
You know? Well, of course, that's just not a thing to do. You know, and it's the same thing in sort of this, whatever, whoever, race or whatever is doing this, you know, it's not a cool thing to do.
Just ask. It's the matter of respect, and everybody has their little sacred space and sacred line, and you respect me and I'll respect you. At least give us the benefit of the doubt to say yes or no. Now, this guy Dave, Brian, does he live alone? And if he doesn't live alone, are there other people there in his household having these experiences as well?
He is married. He has a wife. And as far as I know, not too much has happened to her, as far as I know. Matter of fact, on the 9th of July, they're probably splitting. She's going to be going on training for a new job in another state. So he's going to be out of town for a while, and I told him, but he's going to get his computer hooked up somewhere anyway. But no, so far it seems to be just him.
Right.
That
it's
is
just
going
happening
through
to him.
Yeah. And it's weird, you know, like just for example, too, on another one here, case, a lady from Australia, she wrote, and she's living back east here in Canada. She married a Canadian, so she moved over, and of course they had some children together. And this is what really got me, and this is where it really, really bothers me. I get really upset, not mad upset, just upset, and I can't sleep at night sometimes. In this case, here this lady was, she had a lot of sightings back in Australia. So, you know, when she moved over and married this man in Canada here, and they were still are having a wonderful life together, which is great. And they got a couple of kids. And anyways, she was telling me about she was still having some sightings in here in Canada. And anyways, you know, and still going on with these visitations where, you know, she would see the beings in there. And she'd yell out to her husband at night. And, of course, whatever they do or whatever goes on, he couldn't move. He wasn't even sort of awake. And he or she's wide awake and dealing with this whole presence of these beings and whatever they're doing to her, where she ends up with scoop marks, all kinds of like laser cuts, you know, just all kinds of awful stuff happening to her. And then she says, you know, that's bad enough, but she says, then the kids started waking up with bleeding noses. You know, they have a little boy, a little girl, and they're young, you know, and it got down to where it was getting pretty vicious on the children. And it ended up being where she, I don't know what's going on right now, but it ended up being that it got so bad that her husband's jammies, his old jammies talk, looks like somebody take him, you know, well, let's use this as an example because this is about what it sounded like to me. You know, Freddy out of Nightmare on Elm Street?
Right.
And he wore that silly glove with those razor knives on it. Well,
right.
This is how she sort of described the way his jammies tops there were cut. Just like somebody taking her hand down, maybe claws or big sort of knives on either end or whatever, and just ripped
them
to shreds.
Did she see these beans?
She's seen them every time. Every time.
Did she say what they look like?
She said typical gray. That was a typical gray.
Exactly. And I think that is the smoking gun in this whole thing. Everybody I've ever heard that had a bad experience, it was always, they always described the same ones, the grays. Everyone I have ever heard that had beautiful, loving, kind, awesome, divine experiences were, when they described the ones that they saw or that they seen during their wake or like when they thought they were sleeping and just dreaming, they described them to look a lot like us, very humanoid. They they described them to be very beautiful and looking angelic, and that good things happen to them after these interventions, or they came and healed them, or they came and brought them some kind of good news or something. So I think the problem going on here from all these years of hearing all these stories, Brian, is that what's going on right here, right now, is that we got the bad apples and we got a basket full of delicious apples.
Yeah, you're right. I think so. I think so.
Yeah.
And you know, I know you're right. I really are, Julian. I really think you are. I think you hit it right on the head, honestly. And I'm pretty hard to even convince. So hey, you did a good job. But you know, but I want to tell you just a little thing here and just so your listeners just understand how hard this topic is to work on. You know, because a lot of people say, "Well, do you have an answer yet?" Okay,
on
June 24th of this year. I happened to be away on holiday. I was away, and I got home to a bunch of phone calls from the media, from Trail. I was KBS Radio out of FM Trail. Two calls from them in their newsroom, Wayne Kelly and Whitney, one of the other co-hosts, and also Trail Daily Times newspaper. Now, what happened, as simple as this, is so simple. To me, it's so simple. People at about 11:15 or so, 11:10, heard this jet sound. They said it was a jet. We're not even talking UFO as far as I know. Jet sound. It just scared everybody. Some people were in bed. They freaked out, jumped up, grabbed something, or just ran outside in their nighties or jammies or whatever. Maybe it was nothing at this point. And then ran outside trying to see if they could see something. They said this sounded like it was crashing in either their backyard or going to crash in the river. A lot of people, because we're not talking just a couple of people here. We're talking about part of the city.
Wow.
There's so many people. I'm not joking. So Wayne, when I did my little weekly show here every Friday morning with KBS, Wayne said to me when he first came on, he says, "Brian," he says, "I've got a lot more respect for you. I got a lot more respect for you for what you do," because he says, "We have tried everything," and the media, they're looking around and they got some, you know, good contacts and that. They tried all the military bases, you know, they could think of, like CFP Comox back east. They called bases down in the United States. They called the airport, a local airport, a trail. They called Vancouver International. They tried everything. Now, when I talked to Trail Daily Times News, they did basically the same thing, because they were looking, what they're looking at the story, because a lot of the readers want to know, because they're the people reporting it. And you know, there's no one said, "Well, we don't know. We've never heard of it."
You don't know what it was?
So, no, nobody, there is, nobody is fessing up to this. Now, the airport should have known what was going on in that airspace. I have no question about that at all, Juliana. Not at all. So why is it such a hush-hush thing?
Did they see any lights or anything?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Heard this noise. They thought it was going to either hit the backyard of their home, or maybe some, I guess, close to the river, you know, thought it was going to land a river. It was so loud, it actually scared the living daylights out of them. And you know what? After all these calls, I should also add my look into it, because I phoned a bunch of, two bases out of the United States, American bases. I called the airport. Of course, they're saying I got the same answer. CFP Comox, that's just a useless trip, but you do it anyways, formality, I guess, for me, you know. And I do have some sources, even at Vancouver International. I got people, actually, well, I don't want people, but I got a person in there. I won't say where he's located, but he's located in a good position that he can find out all kinds of good stuff for me. And he said, "Brian, I don't have nothing on this." He says, "We haven't heard nothing here." But the trail airport should have known about it. And he said this. He said that definitely the sound went back over across the American border, because they're right on the American border on the British Columbia side, eh? So is it something that's secretive, or is somebody goofing around and landed in a private strip or something? I don't know, but it's pretty bizarre. So that's how hard is what I'm getting at, is to get information. So here we have a gentleman going through, one person going through all these visitations, and who knows what's going on to him, and how many others out there are going through this similar same thing, and there's probably millions of them, as far as I'm concerned, around the world, and we know nothing. I mean, not us, but the authorities who should know, we know nothing.
Listening to Coast to Coast a week ago, and a lady called in on the show that night. Matter of fact, it was sometime around, it was on a Wednesday night, I think it was maybe somewhere around the 9th or something like that. Anyway, this lady called in and wanted to know if George Nuri on Coast to Coast could help her with what she and so many people in Wisconsin, she said she lived in the upper northern corner of Wisconsin, and since January of this year up until when she was speaking on the show, there was this huge triangle that appeared in the eastern sky every night. It's in the shape of a triangle. She said it, they asked her what size it was. She said a little smaller than a crescent moon, extremely bright white light. And she said the last three nights it had moved from being in the eastern sky to the southern sky the last three nights. They were seeing it in the southern sky, but since January, every night it was there in the sky.
My gosh. And I wonder if George got on that and put her in touch with maybe MUFON, somebody, some of the MUFON representatives in the area or something, so they could go investigate. Because that's what's really needed, you know,
right,
is somebody to get
sure.
out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what bugs me, honestly, is I you hear these stories, and some of them are just absolutely amazing. Just nothing short of amazing, as far as I'm concerned. And I'm so darn far away, you know. You think, oh God, I'd love to be down there right now. You know, you're aching to be down there, and you can't. So what you do is you can try to look something up in that area, and hopefully, you know, that they're decent and they'll get out there. And in a lot of cases, of course, these guys will or ladies. And get down there and check it out. And that's what you got to do, you know, because the idea is there's no sense me collecting the reports or whatnot and trying to do a little bit, because I can't do as much as somebody could do on the ground, you know, or even go out and visit and sit out there a few nights if they have to, or back and forth, who may be close, and gather the information, maybe see the darn thing, get a good report, get all the details, and then start a proper investigation, you know. It's a tough one, but some like that, I hope they definitely got, turned on to somebody that could actually help them out, you know, and maybe go out and see the same darn thing and give them an answer, if possible.
Yeah, well, there's so many people now all over the world, I mean, just seeing these on a daily, nightly, every day, every night, somebody is seeing these. Hundreds of people all over are seeing these. And there's so many people now that are asking questions, stepping up to the plate, trying to figure this out for themselves, that I feel eventually something has got to break loose. There's got to be some truth to come out. And I truly feel that the people of the world deserve to know the truth. Whether it's good or whether it's bad, the people of the world deserve to know this truth. If we go to another world and we explore and there's life there, I feel the proper, respectful thing for us to do would be to go and somehow let the people of that world know, hey, look, we've come, what we come for. Or at least let the people know something so they're not in such confusion and fear. Because if the people really knew the truth, even if it was something bad, they wouldn't be as afraid towards the situation as they are not knowing. The not knowing is what's really freaking people out.
I agree. And there's still going to be some people freaked out, but I think knowing gives you strength.
Right, exactly.
I really do.
Exactly. And you know what? I really feel that it's not going to be many more years, if it's that, before we really know. I think that it's going to get to a point where it's not going to be able to be hid anymore, and we're going to know the truth about it. And
I hope so, dear. I really hope so.
These little bad guys that are sneaking into our houses at night and putting marks on us and taking us off on trips and terrorizing us and our kids and everything else, I think that once we start putting everything together, the pieces of the puzzle, that that's going to stop too. It doesn't matter whether they're more advanced than us in intelligence or technology or whatever. And I do believe maybe I'm just fluffy. Maybe I'm just a daydreamer. Maybe it's just the artist and the peace and love in me coming out. But, Brian, I believe with all my heart, especially from the experience that I had where my life was saved from cancer, I really believe with all my heart that there are good ones out there that respect us and that care about us and that are trying to help us, and that I feel one day that they will come, and we will know the truth.
Yes, and I hope it's sooner than much later, because I think we really deserve it. It's been long enough.
Yeah, we need it. The world needs it. The world really, really needs all the positive intervention, all the positive thoughts, all the positive help, whatever it is that we can get from anywhere now. I think that everyone on earth should call out with their hearts and souls and say, you know, we accept your help. We thank you for your help. Bless you, because we really, really need it to straighten out this big old mess that we all created down here one time or another. So,
you know what? You're right. And you know what, Juliana? I think, you know, if something like that was actually given out, I mean, freely, if, you know, our government is involved, or, and I'm certainly they know about it, I really do. I think if something like this was opened up to everybody, all of the public around the world, you know what? Maybe we might have a little more respect for each other. And I don't mean that we don't respect people, but I mean the ones who are, say, you know, there's problems in the world, maybe we might come together a little bit on something.
Most definitely.
I don't know.
Most definitely.
It would be a nice thought anyway.
Exactly. Instead of being so separated and divided and feeling like I'm better than you because I drive a finer car or I live in a better house or I make more money or whatever, that's not what it's all about. What it's all about down here, Brian, and I've been studying all different religions for over 11 years. I have been doing so much research and so many different spiritual avenues, and basically what I have come to the conclusion that it all boils down to, it's not what you wear, it's not where you live, it's not what you drive, it's not the job you have, it's not how much money you have. What it's all about is what is in your heart and soul and actions. How you treat your fellow man, how you treat the earth, how you respect all of God's creations, whether you want to call God, Jah, Allah, whatever. God don't care what you call God, you know, but it's respect for one another.
I agree. Oh, do I agree with you. Oh, God, do I agree.
Respecting one another, helping one another when you see your fellow man falling down, even if you know he's a jerk. Hey, help him out. Pick him up.
Exactly.
You never know. One day that same jerk might turn around and save your life down the road. You never know.
That's right. Exactly. Well, you know, okay, here's a quick little example. There's been some newspaper articles where people have been, you know, talking about UFOs and you know, they're saying, gosh, you know, I wish I just can't get any eyewitnesses, or I should say get any, because the odd one does come forward, you know, for some of the people that I've been watching these articles on. And, you know, over the years, they say it's really hard to get people to come forward and speak up. I mean, I don't mean, you know, emailing or something, but speak out on a show or, you know, whatever, you know, sort of put themselves on a line. Because, I mean, it's one thing when you send an email with your report, but it's all altogether different when you get on a radio show and you're telling your name and you're telling your story. You know what I mean? So,
right.
And then I sort of sit back and I'm reading this, and I says, why are they having these problems not getting these people coming forward? Not all do in my case, that's for sure, but I bet you I get about 60% of the people are willing to come forward and talk on the show, which honestly blows me away. And I'm very, very grateful to everybody who does, I can tell you. But I see, what I understand from what they said, hey, I've listened to the show, and you're not someone who's going to sit here and you're going to down me over my sighting or you know, poke fun at me and make me look like a fool. You know, you're listening, you're excited about it, and of which I am. And I think that's the way people should be a little more approaching it. I'm not saying that mine's the best way, of course, but that's the way I feel inside me. You know, I'm so fascinated from what people are telling me. Gosh, I get as excited listening to that. Matter of fact, I start laughing, and I hope that people don't think I'm laughing at them. Usually they don't, because it's just that the excitement's coming out of me. I just can't believe it, you know.
Right.
I can't.
Brian. Treat them with respect. When are you going to have the video out to the public? Do you have that out on your website now, or when are you getting that up there?
No, it's not on the website yet, because the guy's going to do this lightning up, so we can lighten this up so people can actually see it. Because if I put it out now, most likely if it's seen on a computer, unless you can adjust the brightness, you're not going to see, you're going to see it, but it's going to be dark. It's going to be very, very hard to see. So I don't want a bunch of people saying, well, oh, it's nothing but a hoax and there's nothing there, because there is something there. I viewed it, and I'm not going to put my name out there if it's not. I don't want that coming back at me. And
Brian,
so what we're going
to
do,
I'm supposed to announce myself that I'm here. I just got the message that you want to be on this program tonight. David Fugger?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm here now.
Hey,
oh, Dave.
Is that you?
Oh, good.
Yeah. I just got the message. I'm on Mountain Time and not on Standard Time, so I called
in
right away.
Oh, I'm sorry, Bill. Well, welcome, Dave. Juliana, this is Dave. Dave, Juliana.
Hi.
Hi, Dave. Thanks for coming on.
I'm the person that
got
that
film. We've got 12 minutes left, so if you want to go ahead and talk about the experiences that you've been having, Brian and I have been talking about it, and it's the most exciting. So fill us in on what's going on. What Brian was saying is that he thinks, like, from about 2005, you've been having UFO sightings. One of the questions I was wondering, is there anybody else in your family having anything like sightings or visitations at night or anything? And just go right ahead. Just talk and fill us all in, because we're all listening to what it's all about.
Okay, actually, my sightings started in 1996, and they went on until 2002. And that's when I didn't even want to go looking for them anymore, because it was getting really scary. But I had prior sightings, too, back in 85 and in the 70s, and then when I was 12 years old, I saw something that was just completely unexplainable. I didn't have any, well, I thought that I didn't have any nighttime visitations, but one morning I was having coffee, and I remembered something that happened 10 years prior to this. It just came back to me, and I couldn't even believe that I forgot about it, because it was really unbelievable. But my experiences here in this house did not start, I'd say it's been going on for about 4 years now. And that was after I quit.
What is so scary in it? Can you tell us that, David?
Yes. The thing is, I always wake up, I'm paralyzed, and I already know there's a presence in the room. And the first thing you feel, and I don't know why, but you feel pure terror. You don't even know what the word terror means until you experience this. That's just how profound it is. And I mean, you don't know why, but you know there's. See, I feel things walking on the bed, my body being pressed on. I've had the experiences have escalated. They're always a little bit different. And, you know, I've had all kinds of things happen. And I have seen things. I've seen beings right in my face.
What do they look like?
Okay, the first time I woke up, the first time I saw any kind of a being, I woke up completely paralyzed. I heard a noise. I knew they were there. Then I heard something rattling. And at the time, I was sleeping with sleeping bags. I didn't know. I thought it was some change on my dresser that was rattling. 3 nights later, I figured out what it was when I got into bed, and I heard the zippers on my sleeping bag rattle. So that's what was rattling. So they were already on my bed doing something with my sleeping bag. And I started praying for God right away. I tried, you know, for Jesus Christ. And that's what I usually do. Usually this stops. And then, boom, something just crashed. I mean, really crashed hard into my bed. And I was released from my paralysis. And the entities that were there, I didn't see them, but I knew they were there. I could even hear them. They had to leave right away. Bam, they were gone. And I was released from my paralysis. So I turned around and I looked up. I didn't see the body, but I saw the head. So I sleep in a pretty dark room, but I saw the head real clear, you know. And this was no gray. This was a being that's it's really hard to describe. But the black eyes were very oriental looking, long, all the way to the side of the face. They were actually blinking. The face was like it had some kind of a wrapping around it, because there was like a big wrinkle, like right where the nose would be.
Mm-hmm.
And the head, it was a perfect head, but around the head was another, I don't know if it was a helmet or a headdress. It almost looked like a halo, but it wasn't colored or anything. But it just went all the way around the head, giving it a three-dimensional look. So I turned around. I panicked. I tried to find my lamp. I couldn't find it. Turned around again, looked. It was still there. And all it did was just stare at me. And, you know, it didn't communicate or anything. But, man, I finally did find my lamp. And when I turned it on, I looked real quick, and it's gone. So
yeah.
I just started
now,
running
through
the house.
David? Do they hurt you, or do you just get scared because of the paralysis and because you don't know what they're really doing and who they really are? Do they hurt you in any way?
Not that I know of, but I've had blood in my bed twice now.
Okay.
And the last time, see, I went and told my doctor about this, so he says, well, I have a sleep study done. So I went and had a sleep study done. I already pretty much knew that I had sleep apnea because I snored. So, yeah, it turned out that I did. So I started wearing the breathing mask, you know, and doctors, oh, this will all quit now. Nah, it didn't. It did not quit. As a matter of fact, it escalated. And so one night I went to bed at 8 o'clock. I woke up at 9:45 from one heck of a dream. I thought it was a dream, and it involved these entities. And I was, like, transported back into time from when I was a younger kid living at home with my folks. And it was kind of like they tried to make it look like my bedroom. But it wasn't right because it was all dome-shaped. So I'm in there, and I'm in a heck of a struggle in this dream. Anyway, to make a long story short, I come, you know, there again, I asked for help. And that's when it usually ends. So I was really shook up over the dream. So I came upstairs, and I had a cigarette, and then I was ready to go. Okay, I came back downstairs. I was ready to crawl back into bed, and I noticed blood all over the pillows. And I just changed the pillowcases that day. And there was two big splotches and then a whole bunch of little ones.
Well,
now, so then I went back upstairs,
Steve,
and I got my daughter, and I asked her, is there any blood on you? Do you see anything on me?
From the radio, dear. I don't mean to be rude. I'm really interested in what you got to say, but I only got 30 seconds, and I'm going to have a close out now. But if you would like to get in contact with me and come back on the show, you can get all my information right there from Brian.
Okay, I'll give it. You bet, yeah.
Brian, thank you, my dear, and bless you, Dave, for being so courageous and coming forward and getting this information out. And thank you again, Brian. Thank you, Dave. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you, Don and BBS staff, for all you do to help us get this information out to the world. Bless you all. Thanks for your hard work. Thank you, Christopher. And listeners, thank you so very, very much for listening. I hope you enjoyed the show. Always remember, dear souls, be kind, compassionate, and respectful to each other and all of God's creations. Strive for peace. Be peace. Teach others by your positive examples. And I wish you health. I wish you love. And I wish you peace and abundance. Good night and sweet dreams. And the choice is yours. I just get the word out there. I'm not telling anybody what to believe or what to think. I'm just getting the information out there, and then it's up to you to choose what you want to believe in all of this. But I can tell you that these people that are coming forward are brave and courageous, and something is really happening. So thank you and good night.
Hello. This is Wesley Snipes. And when I want to get tuned in, tuned up, and not tuned out, I listen to Dr. Fred Bell, Health and Sciences Show on BBSRadio.com. Mary had a little lamb, Mary had a little lamb, and went off to the Pleiades. Woo!
Angel mystic Atira was born with an amazing gift. Atira has seen and talked with angels and her spirit guide for as long as she can remember. And now she connects you with spirit as the angels answer your questions on past lives, passed over loved ones, dreams, relatives, workplace, and spiritual experiences. Atira is an Edgar Cayce Foundation handpicked psychic and is featured in The Days of Wonder by G.W. Hardin. Atira's magical, uplifting, worldwide readings are just $100 for 45 minutes, which includes an audio tape. Email angelreadings@angelscribe.com. That's angelreadings@angelscribe.com for an appointment, or go to Atira's website at angelscribe.com. For metaphysical, straight talk from the heart, it's Atira, Angel Mystic.
They're starting to. Maybe they don't want to. But
he still has fans here, you know? This is for all the fans in Germany, actually. This is Senior Siebert calling. I don't need to tell who I am because everybody here knows it anyway. But there's German fans who really want to hear Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy show on BBSRadio.com.
Standing in my way. I'm Sylvie Avery. Join Mick and I on the Spirits Work Show for the most unique and fascinating hour of communication with the spirit world you're ever likely to hear. Every Monday at 7 p.m. PST and Thursday at 1 p.m. PST. Visit our website at www.spirit-teaching.com to find out more about us. Buy our books online from our site. See our ever-growing list of audio CDs on subjects from this show. Have an Akashic reading from your book of life. Uncover truth and knowledge to empower you through your life. Direct from the spirit world, spirit guide Gregory Hay offers a personal reading by email. Just visit us at www.spirit-teaching.com or you can find us on bbsradio.com.
you like to know the real secret? I'm not talking about the new movie or book. I'm talking about you. You are the biggest secret in your life. Your secret could unlock your highest potential and fulfill all your dreams. What is that secret? The knowledge of who you are. This is Robert Lee Camp, author of The Cards of Your Destiny and Love Cards. I am the host of a new show here on bbsradio.com called Mr. Destiny. You can listen in or join in any Monday night at 7:30 Pacific or 10:30 Eastern on the late night section. Come on the show, tell me your birthday, and I will reveal some of your secrets. Maybe ones that can open up the doors for new possibilities for you and your life. Your birthday is the key to your destiny. I invite you to come explore your destiny with me and find out what the Book of Destiny has to say about you. Hope to see you then.
Hi, this is Niles McClower for the new show, Why Life Is, right here on Friday nights at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Now on BBS Radio, Why Life Is answers a vast number of questions and explores the demystifying of metaphysics and spirituality. Just a fraction of what we will cover are such subjects as detailed explanations of the afterlife, what the meaning of life is, and what intelligent life is like in other worlds. This is a show many of you have been waiting for to hear and participate in as well. Why Life Is has been on the air broadcasting for nearly 3 years and is now available on BBS Radio in prime time on Friday nights at 7 p.m.
Bye. Just like Disneyland, he moves just like palm trees fall. He's got diamonds in his hand. He's got scrapes on both of his knees. He's eager to please. He is your big secret.
He's got me rooting through your trunk wall. Is he the reason for this life jacket? Is he the reason that this ship sunk? Forward, written in shaky, faded ink. I bet the drapes were pink in that old motel room. Forward, watch my stomach sink or swim. How could you follow him to that old motel? I feel 12 years old. Some days I'm sliding toward the grave wall. Sometimes I can take this, but other times I wanna give you back what you gave. Forward, written in a shaky, faded ink. I bet the drapes were pink in that old motel. Supposed to see, and all my friends agree that you must be the devil. No,
justify the geography. Show me where we went wrong on the map. And I try to stand tall. I try to think of anything else at all. But it's hard to move on with this knife in my back. It's hard to move on with this knife in my back. It's hard to move on with this knife in my back.
Blending the practical and the mystical, The Emmy Louie Show, with host and one of the feng shui architecture's leading experts, Emmy Louie is an honest, fun, and entertaining look at exciting fields of feng shui, architecture, and even politics. Each week, Emmy and her expert guests, including the biggest names and trendsetters in these industries and cutting-edge experts in green and sustainable practices, offer advice on how to make the best of your home or office, your environment, and your mind, body, and spirit. Tune in to The Emmy Louie Show and get that spark that'll change your life. The Emmy Louie Show. Understand your physical space and activate your energy.
Love was there to gain, and they blew. don't know hip hop, teen hop, metalhead, punk rock, fine white peace sign, living on a fault line, born over a day old, free love, homegrown, hippies, yuppies, playboy bunnies, redheads, brunettes, cruising down Sunset. My sheep are all freaks and weirdos, just living in the cosmos. Planet California.
Yeah. everybody. This is Lee Nielsen-Drake. I am the star of science fiction show Lex the Dark Zone. Well, I hope you're listening to Dr. Fred Bell's show on bbsradio.com. See, well, if you wanted to do Dr. Fred Bell's Health Science and Energy.
Health Science and.
Oh, what was it?
Health Science and.
Health Science.
Just say you're listening to Dr. Bell's Health Science and.
And Energy.
Health Science and.
Energy show?
That yeah. works. In fact, I can
edit. Health, Energy, and Science show.
Health Science and.
We just call it the Dr. Bell show.
Okay, well, that's what I did.
Same thing, only a little shorter. Yeah, same thing. Health Science and.
You are. that don't have any meaning. I search for the truth, but I still can't find the meaning. I'm staring at the page, trying hard to face. The minutes turn to hours, and the hours just a race. To forget. So haven't you heard? There's nothing wrong with dreaming. Dreaming can hurt if you're living in a bubble, and then that bubble bursts. So am I wasting time? Have I lost my mind? I thought that I was chosen, but did I lose my place in life? What day is it? How many sunsets have I missed? What day is it? 'Cause in a place like California, it's easy to forget. In a place like California, it's easy to
get my